This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have a special episode for you because it's our 7-year anniversary.
Yeah! What?
Oh, yeah. I don't understand time at all. But it's special for that reason. And it's furthermore special because we are joined today by our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Y'all, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yes. We also have production cat Astrid, I believe, in the room with super producer Andrew. So if there's a little bit of a mew every now and then, that's just that she's just chiming in.
It's a very cute mew.
It's
a very welcome mew. Yeah. So we thought 7 years, my goodness. When you sent that, Lauren, I was shocked. It makes sense, but it also feels like way too long.
Physically impossible. Yeah.
Yeah. But we thought, you know, why don't we do an anniversary episode with our super producers who have been so important to this, that are so valued, that we love, that we're actually lucky enough to be friends with outside of work.
Gross.
Gross. Yeah. and just do kind of a fun conversational chat about looking back, thoughts we have now, looking forward, perhaps. As terrifying as that can be.
Oh, it's going to be great. Every day is a shiny new penny. Oh. Oh, heck. So, okay. So, first of all, like, we, Savor is a relatively new entity within our timeline. Or I guess, wait, what? How relatively new is it? Do you remember, Annie?
The Savor part of, not food stuff, but the Savor.
6 years, I think, almost.
Okay, all right. That clocks. Yeah, sure. Because that was approximately when you joined us, Dylan, right?
Yeah. I joined, I think, like the summer of 2018,
I think. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And we went to Asheville in August of 2018.
It was a good time. But we had been to Kentucky previously, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we went in, I think, April of 2018.
Yeah, for the races. Wow. That we did not go to.
Yeah, many horses we did not.
We did not see.
We saw mostly statuary of horses there.
Yes. Yeah, but I guess, since we're kind of getting into deep lore, perhaps, maybe we should go around and talk about how people got into it. Maybe starting with you, Dylan. How did this whole thing start for you?
I think I was the second producer. Was Alex the first producer?
He was there. I feel like
we had a bunch of random producers, to be honest.
I think Noel Brown and Tristan McNeil as well.
I'll never forget that Jerry from Stuff You Should Know sat in on our episode we did, our second episode we ever did on cauliflower. And at the end, she was like, I'm not sure how you talked over an hour about cauliflower. She wasn't like mad about it, but she was kind of shocked by the whole thing.
Yeah. It wasn't a neg, just an observation.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had a couple, but Alex was definitely a regular, for sure.
Yeah, I think he passed it off to me. And that would have been 2018, so probably a year after the show started or so. I always loved the show and I love food, and I had worked with both of you on different shows before that, because I used to work on Stuff Mom Never Told You and I used to work on Brain Stuff. So I was like, yeah. And then there was a travel element included and I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. So, and then I think I did that for about a year and a half before moving more into like a overview role. And Andrew has been keeping it locked down for at least 5 years now. That's amazing.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's flown by. I started in September 2018. So that would have been after the name change. And like late 2018 to 2019. Is when I started as producer. I love it.
You've been great. You've got all the Pokemon sound effects references
ready to go. I definitely have a library of sound effects that I like to pepper in when I can, or throw some synthesizer in there. Just having fun.
Yeah, it's really nice that, you know, if you're doing... For some reason, this episode stands out to me, but I know Dylan doesn't like cucumber. And you're doing a really long episode about cucumber. It's nice to be in a cohort of people that are like down for you to nerd out about that kind of stuff and are into it and are supportive of it. So we've been really, really lucky in that way to have you both. And it's been, I think the difference when I look back of what I did in the first episode, which you can still listen to, which I edited. Oh my gosh.
Oh, heck, right. Yeah. Nightmare. Yeah. Before your time on Savor, you were primarily a producer.
Yes. And producer can be a murky title at our company. So it was like editing and producing. but, you know, it's not that I'm like embarrassed by that episode, but we've just come so far. Since then.
Yeah. I'm easily embarrassed, but I'm a little bit embarrassed about some of our early work. I'm like, oh, I would have done that a tiny bit differently. You know, there's still plenty of worthwhile material in there. If you, listener, enjoy listening to that now, again, just an observation. No negative commentary there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like weirdly enough, in 7 years, we've, you know, kind of found a rhythm. Everyone has sort of found a voice and helped that voice come to fruition. Food pun intended.
Yeah. And I think the thing when you're doing a food show, we get this all the time with advertisements, is that people assume that means cooking. And so I think when we first started, like if you go back and listen to that first episode, we had a whole section on pairings. I'm like, how do you eat this? How do you enjoy this? It was on champagne sparkling wine because it was a celebration.
Right, yeah.
But like, that's just not really our thing. So you kind of find that voice as you go on of like, okay, if people want to look up how to pair champagne, they can do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that either of us are necessarily experts in botany or history or whatever it is that it is, but more of an expert in reading about those than in actually cooking or pairing food, as everyone here probably knows because we've all been at parties together. And I'm the guy who's like, I'll bring a cheese plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I guess that's kind of, that would be an interesting question is when it comes to a show like this, for you producers, are there things you listening to and you're like, I'll try that? Are you more of a chef than us, or are you listening much more for like science and stuff? Like, where do you stand in the cooking spectrum?
Oh yeah. Well, I think the thing for me over the years has been that this show is really good at like sparking a craving that I didn't know I had. It's hard to listen to an hour about a food and not want to try it afterwards. Even if I've had it before, if it's just something I haven't had in a long time, like the episode on dill, I remember like eating a ton of dill for like a week after that. And yeah, I cook a lot now. I didn't when the show started, but I think that being part of this show actually made me realize just how much I love food, because I always knew I loved eating it, but then I learned I loved, you know, knowing everything I could about it, and then that translated into cooking more. So yeah, this show's been really inspirational in that aspect.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that I was doing a lot of cooking that wasn't, you know, just like frying stuff in a pan before the show. And I definitely think the show has inspired me to definitely get more creative and like adventurous and experimental in how I cook, and open to things I'd never heard of or never thought to try, including when we're traveling and stuff. And yeah, grateful for all those experiences and how it's opened my mind to so many different things, because there's so many topics we can talk about. And I love the understanding the history of foodways and how that's so deeply intertwined with like socioeconomic sometimes and politics. And I also love breaking down the molecular science and like, especially like with fermentation and understanding like the processes, the chemical processes of like what is happening when alcohol is brewed or bread is being baked in the oven. It's all so fascinating. And then you get to eat it or drink it. It's awesome.
And of course, yeast poop.
Yes. Yeah. Another key point of
sound
our
effect. Yeah.
Foundational. It was there pretty early on. I'd love to do a history of yeast poop in the show.
Dylan, I'm not sure if you've listened to, there's a couple recent episodes where I've got to say mold poop, and that was very exciting.
Oh, nice. I like another entry into the canon of the
poop stable.
The MPU. Yeah. I don't know. There's something there. There is something there. Well, it kind of leads into my other thing I've been thinking about just looking back, is that one of the things that I think Savor has been first food stuff, first eat stuff, and then food stuff, and now Savor. One of the things I've loved working about it on is that we have been lucky enough to work with people who are passionate, who are curious. Like every time we send out, Andrew sends us an episode to listen back to for mistakes, you usually have like a pun or a fact in there. Like I love that everyone is so curious about what can seem on the surface, I don't know, like how much can you honestly say about cauliflower?
Sure.
So I think that's been really important. And I think we've also seen that in listeners too. Like the thing about food is people have these memories, these associations that you might not have, but when you read it, you can connect with it anyway. Cause you're like, I know that feeling, even if I haven't had that food. So I just, again, I'm so glad that this is our team and we've gotten to work together, but I've also just loved hearing from you all about your puns or ideas or your thoughts on food.
Oh yeah.
Usually when I send those out, I'm like, oh god, this is so stupid. They're gonna think this is so stupid.
No.
It's the right audience. So like, I think Annie really set the precedent for like all puns are good to go. Just like
all puns are welcome puns.
Oh yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. No, it's my favorite thing actually when we get a pun from you, Andrew, that Annie has not included in her potential episode title list. And I'm like, ooh, is Andrew's better this week? Is that like the best?
It's pretty funny. It's great.
How dare you?
It's not a competition.
Yes, it is. You're,
both of you have a terrible sense of humor that I adore.
Oh, no. This is turning into some kind of intervention.
Actually, we've been doing this podcast for 7 years for a very specific reason, Annie, and
no more puns. I think the puns have been there since the beginning. They've been there pretty early on. I don't know if we went with them in the beginning, but...
Yeah, we might have been a little bit more reserved. And I think it was actually Jerry from Stuff You Should Know who was like, yeah, be more fun. Like, let that side of your personality out. Because originally we were like, how does champagne work? Because we were at How Stuff Works at the time. And that was kind of the way that you structured things or the way that I thought about structuring things. And she was like, no, that's my shtick. You do something else. Do something more fun. Where we cannot, you go.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, essentially, again, going back to the cauliflower, she was like, you're going to have to make this a little more interesting with your personalities if you're going to talk an hour about it. So, again, we have come a long way. And we've tried a couple of different things along the years. We're going to get into travel in a second, which I'm excited to talk about. But one of the things I've liked working about with you all is you're pretty good patient with us being like, what if we did a food fairy tale though? Like, what if we did something that was more produced and has other people in it, which is more work for producers, or, you know, something more goofy, perhaps, not always, but like fictional foods, and having that room to experiment. And those are some of my favorite things, is that we get to do that. And I love hearing the result of it, of like, oh, yes, this sounds so good.
Yeah. I don't mean to put y'all on the spot, but I, both of you have a background in music and in other kinds of sound design. Would you talk a little bit about how you've brought that here and how that affects your work in general as a producer here at iHeart?
No.
Thanks. Perfect. Cool. Best answer. Podcast. We can wrap it up now.
I'm too sure.
There's one little thing that Andrew did, just to mention, that I always think about. It was in a fairy tale episode, and it was just a quack. It was just a quack sound he put in for a duck. And I think about it all the time. I think it's just the cutest little... He did it with his synthesizer. And I think it's just... It gets me every time that I think about it. I loved having when I was doing more of the editing, I loved having the freedom to, you know, throw in little sound effects and gags, and how receptive you all were to that, and hoping that you would find it fun. And I think it was usually received pretty well. But then, you know, there were little things that just became mainstays, like the harp and putting an echo every time that you say poop, that I just think are really fun. There's a little like flashback synthesizer. So I always enjoy having the freedom to play with that. And that's not something that you can always do on other shows. So it felt like a fun space because it's, you know, it's an educational show, but it's also really fun and inviting. And then when we transitioned to Savor, I did a theme song that is the current theme song, but I did that because I thought we would change it every time that we traveled, but it was never, I never made another one. Yeah. So it was supposed to reflect the geographically where we were headed. But yeah, I guess it's been that way for about 5 or 6 years now. So
always heading towards Asheville.
Yeah.
It works. It works for us. So it's really pretty and nice and friendly. And that's, I mean, you know, that's, but kind of lighthearted. Yeah.
Yeah. And it complements the podcast art, I think, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I love everything that existed before I came onto the show. I think Alex might have pioneered the kitchen timer bell, perhaps.
Oh, sure. For listener mail. Yeah.
And keeping the harp and all the other sound effects. I like to use my synthesizer when I can. I have a lot of fun with it. I don't know if we want to get into the nerdy details about it.
No, we hate nerdy details here. Please don't.
This is a very general live show. Yeah. There's no room for that.
Well, for anybody who's curious, it's either a 79 or 1980 Korg MS-20. It happens to be Japanese, which is just the version I found. So I have to use a voltage transformer, which is kind of fun. But yeah, it's a Korg MS-20. It was used a lot in like a lot of anime, like Gundam and Captain Harlock and maybe like Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z as well. And it's a sound I really like, and it's got a really good filter that allows you to recreate sounds that are synthesized analogs of real-life instruments or human voice, while also still sounding very late 70s, which is fun.
It is fun. It's always a delight when we go back and listen. We get to hear it. And it is, it's interesting to touch on the various iterations the show has gone through, because I remember like when Food Stuff was the video series that Kristen Conger and Ben Boland did. If you've listened to their podcast, you know who I'm talking about. They're still on YouTube. You can listen. But some of those sound effects came into the original podcast of Food Stuff. And then when we became Savor, some of those went away, but some of them still remain. So it's just interesting listening back of kind of this tapestry, audio tapestry of where we were and like things that have changed. And it's, I can't believe it's been 7 years, to be honest. But when I think about it, like, I'm like, oh yeah, that sound effect is from
when you were editing the video for Kristen and Ben's Food Stuff, and you brought it into the first episode of our Food Stuff. And then the podcast was originally titled Eat Stuff. I'm not positive whether we've told the story or not before, because like when we approached Kristen and Ben and we're like, hey, we want to do this food podcast. They were like, please do take it. And we were like, is it okay if we use the name? And they were like, so in a very friendly way. But we were like, okay, we'll do Eat Stuff. That's totally fine. It's fine. And I think Ben was like, no, you guys can have it. You can take the mantle. We believe in you. It was actually very sweet. But yeah, no, I love the kind of like nerdy synthesizer thing. Like, I think it's a really good representation, like audio representation of our whole vibe. That's sort of what we're going for.
Cool.
I'm glad. Yeah. It's because I know nothing about music. So I'm like, please help.
And we have a lot more reminiscing to do, but first we have a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Let's get back into it. One of the things that we definitely wanted to talk about and has been a really exciting, stressful sometimes, wonderful experience, though, is that we have been really lucky that we've gotten to travel with this show. We've gotten to interview some amazing people. We've gotten to go to some amazing places, eat amazing food, have amazing drinks. And again, I am so thankful that we like each other because that's not always the case when you're traveling. But I thought that this would be a good moment to talk about, you know, any memories you have or anything that really stands out to you when you look back at these trips that we've taken, maybe starting with you, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been on, I believe, 4 trips with you all. We went to Lexington, and then we went to Asheville and New Orleans, and then we went to Hawaii with Andrew, and all of them were wonderful. Obviously, Hawaii really stands out.
It does. Yeah. That's just Hawaii.
That's just Hawaii. It felt like every time I think about that trip, I think everything was like someone pulled up the saturation slider. Everything was just like so colorful. But that was the first time I ever had poke or spam musubi, a bunch of things. And we talked to some incredible chefs everywhere we've been and learned a lot from when we were in Asheville. We talked about, gosh, having some important conversations about like mental health. And then when we were in Hawaii, learning about all the different ways that sometimes the federal laws around fishing are not always beneficial to people who live on the islands. We went to a fish auction. That was really cool. Yeah, I have so many great memories from all those trips. And like you all said, I'm very glad that we like each other as much as we do, because it made it so much better just to be able to hang out. And it always, I know it was work, but it also felt like a lot of fun. I was not stressed at all, especially when we were in Hawaii, like I would be if I was working and traveling somewhere else. And also the fact that like I could follow Annie pretty much anywhere and be like, okay, oh, I'm going to have a good time. Yeah. She's done her research. So from the food to the chefs, to the places we've been able to tour, to the issues that we've been able to cover, both like about food, socioeconomics, cultural, I think it was incredibly enriching, both to me as a producer, as a person, and then for the show.
Yeah, that trip was amazing. Like some of the places we did interviews were some of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And we were out there talking about foodways, and we're in like an area where they filmed Jurassic Park or something. Like, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That was a real dream. That was really amazing.
And just the sheer generosity of human people who we talk with, you know, like, I feel like whatever your daily job is, you probably feel like it's a little bit boring because you do it every day. And I mean, like, even, you know, there are days when people are like, oh man, you're a podcaster. Like, tell me what you're working on. I'm like, I just researched Humpty Dumpty for 7 hours and I hate my life. I hate everything. And I especially hate Humpty Dumpty. True story. But you know, like, getting to talk with people about those kind of frustrating daily things and being like, no, your work in the fish industry is really fascinating. Like, please tell me more about how that does. Right. And then having people go, oh yeah, this is cool. And right. And there are stories behind it. And, you know, all of us probably should be learning more about our foodways and having those kind of discussions with other human people.
Yeah, that's been one of the nicest things is when it does happen where someone realizes we're not like, we're actually really interested and they're like, oh, okay, then let's get into the science of the fermentation of this. I love that.
Yeah, let's do the nerd stuff.
I love that. What about you, Andrew?
I was just going to chime in too that with some interviews, I think it's refreshing for the guests to see that there isn't like an angle necessarily. You know, we're really just coming to let them tell their story, and we're trying to just be objective and let them shine through. And I think people really appreciate that.
Yeah. Our whole, right, like, our angle is like, what's cool? You tell us. Yeah, as members of the media, you know, it's not everyone. A lot of the time people do have an angle, and that's right.
But I think my first outside office trip was when we went to American Spirit Works here in Atlanta. And that was really cool to just hang out with some cool dudes making good bourbon. And they just like gave us each bottles of bourbon at the end of it. And it was like, this job is great. This job is awesome. And amazing bourbon, really cool guys. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, to kind of jump off of what Dylan said, my first proper trip was Hawaii. And then we went to Vegas a couple times. And that's been fun. Despite, you know, all the cliches that come with Vegas, and no gambling was done. We definitely had a great time. Really good food there because it's such a cosmopolitan hub. It's easy to overlook that it's a destination for people from all over the world, you know.
Absolutely. And we have gone to a variety of places. A very like diverse kind of range of things that we've done. And we've talked to just so many amazing people. And sometimes it can feel, I worry that they're so busy. And here I am like, please talk to us for a second. And so I really appreciate when it can be something that is pleasant for them and they get to nerd out about a thing. But when I said like the stressful, for me, that was part of it, is I was always stressed about our schedules because it was usually a pretty quick trip with a lot to do. But also just the stress of, I hope this guest leaves thinking that was a good experience.
Yeah.
No regrets. I'm happy I did it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I was just going to throw in an anecdote about Hawaii, one of my favorite moments. We were in the Foodland, which is like the Hawaiian local grocery store, and they had a poke competition going on. So there are all these like bells ringing and people shouting and screaming, and you know, all these distinguished chefs were presenting their own take on poke, and we got to try some. And we were also meeting a couple folks for an interview in the Foodland. And so that was challenging in its own right, but also really fun to try to work around you know, so much noise and just like hustle and bustle around us. And I think we pulled it off pretty well. One of my favorite moments was we were meeting Chef Roy Yamaguchi. It was around the time we were meeting, and I think we were just wondering maybe, you know, where he was, or not too worried about it. But, and then I just turned to my right and he was just standing there and he goes, "Hey." I don't know. I thought it was really cool. I was just like, wow.
Oh.
Hey, Roy.
There he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We were meeting him and a senator. So that was right. And just, and all of that chaos that was occurring around us. I was amazed that the audio for that actually came out. Y'all did some kind of wizardry.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say anything to that.
Everybody was also just like really gracious with their time. Anywhere we've been, I think if you come in with a genuine curiosity, people will return that in favor. I remember one other interview we did in Hawaii where we were inside of, I think, like a cultural center, and we were in a guy's office and there was almost nowhere to set up. And so I think Andrew and I were like sitting on the floor, like all huddled up, and all four of us were, I think there were five people, at least five or six people in the room where it was not really fit for like two people. But it made it a lot of fun to find yourself in situations like that.
Yeah. That was a really great interview. Yeah,
that one was beautiful. I mean, so many of them are so beautiful, and people do, and there's so much anxiety when you get on mic. Like I still get nervous when I'm on mic, and I do this basically every day. And so you know, like it's being recorded is a little bit nerve-wracking. It just is, and kind of watching people forget that they are being recorded and just like and that they're just telling stories about what they do and what their experience is a really wonderful moment.
Yeah. As the producers, it's nice to just kind of be a fly on the wall, and yeah, they kind of don't have to pay attention to you. And then it feels less stressful for them because they're just having a conversation with you. I just happen to be sticking a microphone in their face.
I you know what? I do want to give Andrew and me a little credit as producers in that sense, just because I think we're chill as all get out. And I think that helps. I think the four of us being very chill when we're talking to people is probably helpful in these situations.
It's good if I come off that way because y'all know me well enough to know that I've never had a chill moment in my existence.
Yeah, I haven't either inside, but I try to outside, and I think people respond to that. I think that Andrew and I try to hold microphones in the most casual manner possible.
You do. You do. Really do. It's great.
Deal. It's just a microphone. Don't worry about it.
And super props to Annie about because usually you are the one who is organizing that wild schedule and setting up the interviews, and that is the work of like 19 different people, and I know you and you hate being on the phone. So <I do. laughs> so the fact that we've somehow tricked you into doing it and the fact that you do it well, you should probably think about just doing it badly just once.
I've told this story before, but when I first started at this job, Ben Boland told me of stuff they don't want you to know. Don't be too good at something or you'll be doing it. I was like, should I listen? No, I don't mind it. It does stress me out, but I don't mind it. And I appreciate that. But it is really cool that in so many instances, when we go on these interviews, because they're great interviews, they go long. And we'll tell the person we're interviewing, like, oh, we're late to talk to this person. And they'll be like, oh, I know them. And like,
yeah, I'll just call. Yeah.
It's just
like,
really
what?
Neat to see the connections and camaraderie in the industry. And we even had one instance where one person was like, oh, they're cool. So you're going to be good. Like, and I really, it made me happy to hear that. But that's a really cool thing. I feel like we've run into a lot. And also just, like you said, Laura, like absolute kindness. Like somebody gave us a ride. just somebody gave us like free beers when they saw, like, recognized us. I think he was giving out free beers to everybody, but he recognized us and was like, hey, I've got you. Like, we just, like, very kind people that we've gotten the fortune to talk to.
Do you know who I think about at least once a week is Alan Muscat, the yes. mushroom forager? I think about him all the time. And that was one of those ones where we went out into the woods and you really don't know what's going to happen. And he gave an amazing interview. And then he wrapped a 3-verse rap on top of his car. And we were like an hour late to our next interview. But that was a guy, I think, who was like, I know them. You'll be okay. And then we got to the next person. They're like, oh, you're with Alan. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. She told me, she was like, I would, if you had told me Alan was before this, I would have, we would have moved the
No, we would have. Yeah. And I and the truly, I mean, the rap was pretty magical, but everything else about that, like I have this thing that I do from doing this too often where I know to the second how long things have been going on. It really creeps me out when I do it in real life. You know, someone will be like, oh, about, you know, like how long do you think it's gonna, I'm like 47 minutes and 14 seconds. But like, I forgot what time, I forgot where we were. I forgot what time was. I had no idea that that had gone on that long because I was just on this, forgive the like drug reference, but this mushroom trip with yeah. this guy, this totally drug-free mushroom trip. And it was so delightful. I was like, yes, please tell me more about mushrooms forever.
And it was further heightened by the fact our Lyft driver was there watching it unfold.
Watching it all. He's the only guy I've ever seen make his own lunch as I was walking with him. Because he was like, I haven't eaten yet. And he just started pulling things off of the trees.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. That's also the time I ate that mushroom. And then he was like, oh, probably shouldn't have eaten that. But it was after.
It's not technically edible. But yeah, you had already chewed and swallowed. And he was
he
like,
he gave it to me.
He did. Yeah. He encouraged you to taste it. He didn't tell you not to eat it.
I was fine. Nothing happened. But it's just a memory that really... Like, well, I've always said the easiest way to kill me would be poisoning my food. So...
Yeah, and every single time, I don't know, like it probably does help that we're all... pretty easy to impress and like looking to have a nice time, which is so great because so many human people aren't, but holy heck, it's great when you find similar like-minded humans. But right. You know, like getting to whenever we have had the opportunity to try someone's food or to, you know, like go on an experience with them like that and be able to talk with them about it. Like that's, oh, it's so good. It's so good. Because every single time it's been excellent.
Right. And that's one of the other things about kind of the excitement people have about sharing what they do is that, you know, free stuff is always nice, but we're not like coming in expecting give us this free stuff. But we've had so many instances where after the interview, they're like, you have to try this. You have to try this. Can I make you this? Can I get you this? and it's lovely to see that kind of passion and excitement about what they're doing. And to get to try it, yes. but again, like we don't ask. It's just a really nice to see people get so into what they're doing that they want to share it with you.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite moments was we were at MW in Honolulu, and we had their take on Spam Musubi. It was kind of like a deep fried version. And I had it, and I think I made like some face, and I looked over, and I think Wade happened to be glancing over at our table because the kitchen kind of overlooks the dining room, and he looked so happy that I was enjoying it, and just like that positive feedback cycle was really cool because people just want people to have a good time. It's nice.
Yeah, their moonfish was one of my favorite dishes I've ever eaten anywhere.
Oh. We have had some good dishes. That is true.
That was when we went to the fish auction. I remember seeing a moonfish or an opa, as they're called, for the first time. I thought, I want to eat that. I've never thought that about a fish before. I was like, I want to eat that. And we went to M&W that night.
Delicious.
And they had it. And it was just as good as I imagined.
That's been one of the things for me about this show is that it has, as I mentioned earlier, it has truly changed some things in my life about eating of like, oh, I know what this is now, or I want this all the time, or I'm sad I can't get this anymore. But there are so many dishes that we've had while traveling that opened my mind to something I didn't know about. And sometimes to my regret, because I cannot get it. But
yeah, yeah, I regret not living with a supermarket that has fresh poke bars in it every day. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's really, thanks.
But it was so good.
Hawaii for being so nice. Yeah. Or right, yeah, like it makes me want to travel more. I'm pretty intrinsically stressed out by travel, but I just want to go everywhere and try everything now, even more so than I did before. Before I was kind of like, what if I stayed in my room? That would be great too. But now I'm like, no, let's go. And also, like, some of the times that we haven't had a mic running have been wonderful. I don't know if we actually said this out loud, but I feel like every single time we go to a new place, you know, like we roll up into the local pub or like at a local bar or something like that, and the first human who we wind up talking to just lays out the entire town. Like maybe we're in a cab or just getting a soda water, and like we meet some human person who is so passionate about the food and drink in their city, and they just tell us all about it, and we're like, we're not rolling.
Yeah. It's like a video game. It's just like, welcome, traveler. And yeah, the first person you meet, it's almost like a tutorial. Yeah. It's just too RPG. Good to be true. Yeah.
It's getting a little creepy. I'm like, are people setting this up? Like, is...
That is true, though. Several times we've, like, run into somebody that just knows. They're like, we've got to go here, here, and here. And in several cases, we've taken their advice and gone to a restaurant that they suggested, done something they suggested, because, of course, they would know better than us. So that is really cool. That is a really cool thing that we've experienced.
There is still more of this discussion left to go, but first we're going to take one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. And let's get back in.
Something else I wanted to touch on, speaking of, is we have really amazing listeners, and we have had them since the start, because as we were getting ready to do this, I was putting some food away, and I was using this, like, honeybee wrap. That was a listener sent us that in our, like, very first couple of episodes. And I use it to this day. Like, we have gotten so many gifts that I still have. Like, we have champagne candles. Those were some of the first things we got. We've got...
Yeah, that's still on my desk.
Legos, spices, chocolates, pierogi, coffee, D&D dies, which are so cool. Dies for Dungeons & Dragons, MREs, mead, pizza. But also, I wanted to mention with our producers here, Kit Kats. We've
so many Kit Kats.
Kit Kats.
So many.
Yeah. Like, some of the flavors I don't even understand, like, because I can't read a lot of the packaging. Like, one of them had a whale on it.
We were very confused.
It was not whale.
Yeah.
It's not whale flavored.
Wasn't it like a conservation effort to, like, help the whales?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it tasted like. Yeah.
Helping the whales.
Yeah.
It's amazing how they capture that essence. Yeah,
yeah. But it's been really lovely to get the, like, we never expected listeners. We love hearing from you no matter what. We love that you listen. If it's not your thing to write in, I get that too. I'm very shy, so totally understand. But just to shout out that has been very nice, and that we have shared it together. This is a thing. When we get a shipment of Kit Kats, we divvy them up.
Yeah.
By flavor. And usually we try to do it together, like try some together. That's been really nice.
Yeah. Thanks, Jill. You're the best.
Yeah.
I think I still have, like, an embarrassingly large pierogi-related t-shirt to give to somebody. Yeah. So that's, yeah.
I think a comfy t-shirt. It's a nice t-shirt. I'll say that.
I think I have a pierogi water bottle. Just all the pierogi merch you could ever want is great.
Yes.
I have to make a shout out to the listener who I think sent it to the hosts, but then it eventually made its way to me, a tin toy of Mazinger Z, the old, like, mecha. That was the coolest gift ever. So thank you, whoever you are.
Very specific, but yeah.
Oh, those are great.
Maybe very happy. No, it's awesome.
The very specific things. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we have found an audience, or the audience found us, where they're also on our kind of nerdy, curious, kind wavelength. And they'll be like, oh, you mentioned this random cultural fact that doesn't really have to do with food. I'm into it. Let me send you this.
I know all about it. And here you go. Like, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, for the record, every single time that one of y'all writes in, I want to come interview you about your life too. Like, it's y'all, we're just talking about stuff. Like, you guys are out there doing stuff and it's so cool. Some of you know goats. We did an episode on goats recently, Dylan, and the listener mail has been aces.
Oh, that's great. I love goats.
Yeah. I don't think I've really hung out with one, but now I really want to.
So bouncy.
Atlanta has a lot of, I didn't get into this in the episode, but a lot of goat places. So I feel like you could find a goat, Lauren. If you want. You could make this happen.
Thank you. Thank you for believing in me. Yeah, yeah. I believe that there are goats at the goat farm, so I could probably just go out there right now.
Whoa. yeah. Make it happen right now.
T minus 30
minutes.
We'll
finish this first. We may have an ad to do, but yeah, sure. Yes. Oh, heck. Yeah.
we should also mention, like we would not be able to do this podcast without the support of the company that we work for, iHeart, and the lovely humans that work with us, and the union that we are a member of, Go iHeart Podcast Union, woo! And right, like, you know, every weird ad read that we do pays for the show. Thank you for listening or skipping through it. That's your choice, whatever you want. But you know, like the humans responsible for that are responsible for us having a job, and that's so mm-hmm. cool.
Our ads team, they work hard. They work really hard.
Yeah. They do.
Shout out.
And they're all lovely human mm-hmm. people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who can also really throw down.
I'm getting a really warm, fuzzy feeling in my heart. Aw.
No. My bad. I'll try to be grumpier. Yeah.
Go back to your killjoy corner, Lauren.
I do love those. I do love those. And I still can't eat bananas. I ruined those for me. So here we are.
That would be, if we were going into like a sadder anniversary special, it would be what foods have you ruined for yourself?
Well, let's save that for 8 years.
Yeah. There you go. Now, your 7 is copper. Your 8 is depression. I like that. Yeah, sure.
I'm into it. Well, thank you so much to Dylan and Andrew for taking this time to be with us. We know you're super busy, but you're such an important part of the show, and we just love that you're part of our team. So we thought it was important that you be a part of this. So thank you.
It's an honor. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was an honor. It's really nice.
It is integral. We are merely the voices. You are the people who make our voices accessible. And you cut out every single time that I clear my throat, which is like 98 times an episode.
What a curse. Not to out you, Lauren.
I do cuss a lot. I shock Annie sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest, because some of you have written in and said, do a live show. And the biggest thing I've come back with is like, you know, yeah, but.
Yes, and.
It would be a little different. It would be a little different. That's fine.
Little tiny bit, but I can mostly contain myself.
I enjoy it. I hope this isn't coming off as some complaint.
No. This is really the point of this is the long game. Is an intervention for me.
Too much
in my creative cussing.
I've never heard such words when talking about goats.
Actually, I think the very first project that I was on with Dylan at this place of business that we were part of was back when we were doing video. Or back when we were doing articles, and there was an article about rude signs, like hand signs in different cultures. And Dylan was our photographer for this. And he was just making little animated bits for each hand gesture to go with this article. And so it was just me and like a few other people sitting in a video studio, flipping Dylan off in different languages. For like an hour.
Yeah, that was fun because then I had to pixelate all of them so they were sensitive. So by the end of it, you really couldn't tell what anything was. That was fun. I hope that some people got some like frustration out because I think it was you and Holly and Eves. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's a good group.
Yeah. Well, they sent out the all call for like who wants to come do this. And like, I think we all three immediately were like in for it. I think I kept apologizing to you, though.
No, it's just funny when you don't really know people and you do your first, in this kind of creative work, you do your first project with them and like you meet someone and they flip you off. Or the first time that I did a project with Annie, I was taking photos of Annie throwing knives. Yeah. So it's like cool way to get to know somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, you can do it this way, or you can do it this way. Which way do you want? It's like, no one knows. Oh, we have done a lot
in our careers here.
We have.
we really have.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you all so much for being a part of it.
And cheers to one more at least year where we'll come back for another anniversary. Do this again. But yeah, thank you. That brings us to the end of our anniversary special, I'll say. It was so lovely. It was so nice to get to have this conversation, to have these memories with each other, to see each other, even though it was virtually. And just, yeah, remember what makes this special and so nice to work on.
Yeah, it is truly a crazy dream job. Sometimes the emphasis is on the crazy, but very frequently it is on the dream.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it takes the team to make the dream, they say. Well, thank you again to our super producers for being here and for everything that they have done. Thanks to you, Lauren, because you were kind of the one behind this idea, and you were the one that asked me about it and taught me. And then when we did the traveling, you were the one doing the interviews and the questions. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. We are two extremely different human people who happen to get along very well, perhaps in the quest of eating more food.
That is how we found each other, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yep, because I was like, oh, man, Annie likes food, and she's willing to work for it. I love this.
Let's get a show. And seriously, thanks to all of you listeners, you've been so nice. I remember the first time I got a message from a listener. I was a new podcaster, and it was so kind. Thank you. You really have supported us and helped us.
No, y'all keep us going. It is such a weird thing to do, what we are doing right now. And so, just hearing from you and hearing your stories and hearing your responses to each other's stories and getting a little bit of a perspective outside of our weird closet studios is delightful every time.
It absolutely is. So if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We are also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to those super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.